Coach, you were on the Dolphins roster for a short time. Can you talk about your experience with Miami down here with Coach Shula?
Sure, it was an outstanding experience for me. You know, obviously it was a short time, but you know, as far as you know, the players and you know, Coach Shula and the rest of the staff. You know, John Sandusky was my line coach. And, shoot, I even had a young Mike Westhoff. How about that?
Wow,
who was there? But you know, it was really a great thing. I've always tried to tell people I was never really good enough to hang on in the league for a long period of time, but I was able to, you know, be around some special people and really learned a lot. So the negative part was I wasn't good enough to last a long time in the league, but I was able to learn a lot from, you know, the coaches I was around, and it's been able to help me in my career as a coach. And you know, from Coach Shula, you know, the one thing that I've always learned from him is that, you know, he was always, you know, straight. I mean, he told the players, you know, he would always tell us, you know, exactly what he thought. And you know, I think one of the greatest lessons I've learned is that, you know, you never had to worry about, you know where you stood, you know, anyone on the team, because if he didn't tell you, that meant you were okay. And you know, if he had something to tell you, he was going to tell you, you know, right then and there. So, you know, I thought that's one thing I think that I appreciate. I know the other players did, and obviously being in the locker room. So, and I think that's the way you have to, you know, be when you handle players.
Coach, besides what you learned from Shula, what was it like being around Dan Marino and Webb and Sims and just, you know, some of the other caliber of players that were on that team?
Well, this is back in 87, so yeah. We had, you know, Ronnie Lee and Geisler and Dwight Stevenson and Roy Foster, and, you know, Doug Bettis was still there. And so, you know, those, you know, Sims and Webb came afterwards.
That's right.
But it, you know, It was such a, you know, the guys were obviously very close. You know, everybody, you know, worked hard. You know, they, I mean, I don't think, you know, we worked hard. They worked hard to try to win. They were good. Everyone pushed each other. It was very competitive, not just on the football field, but off, you know, for whatever everyone did. And I enjoyed it. St. Thomas was a little rough. You know, that's where we train. Now I go down there, and I can't believe it. I remember Stu Weinstein, the security guard.
Still here.
He didn't even have an office, I think, down in St. Thomas. Now he's got one. It's got security cameras all over it. It's like, it's unbelievable, you know, from what it was. And it's unbelievable. I feel like, you know, when I got into the profession, I said to myself, you know, I'm not going to be like a lot of the coaches. Like, you know, back in the day, you know, when I played, it was like this. And when I did this, and sure enough, I find myself saying that all the time, you know. You know, the locker rooms are this. Before we had to bring, you know, eat our own breakfast, get our own lunch. Now they have, you know, breakfast and lunch for the players. So, you know, this league has changed quite a bit, you know, from back in that day.
Doug, Thad obviously is a guy we have a lot of interest in down here, considering his background. What was it that you saw in him that thought he might be successful? And did he kind of show you that on Sunday?
Well, I think to go back to the beginning, you know, obviously we had an injury to Kevin Cobb, and then obviously E.J. Manuel was hurt, and, you know, we needed to go and try to find ourselves, you know, a veteran quarterback, or a quarterback that we thought that could, you know, could come in here and be able to contribute. And, you know, when we started to look around, we obviously looked at the guys who were out there on the street, and obviously the guys that were on, you know, the other teams that might have been, you know, the fourth quarterback on their roster. And, you know, Thad's name came up, and, you know, he had played before in the one game. And then, you know, I have a relationship, as I'm sure, you know, our scouting department, with Coach Cutcliffe, and then also with, you know, even Bill O'Brien. They both were at Duke, you know, at some point when Thad was there. And, you know, called him up, talked to him about that, because I really didn't know a lot about him. Knew Jerry Hughes was his high school coach. Jerry's down in Key West now, and I know him. So we did our background, and I couldn't believe really how many people were very, very supportive of him and having the ability to do it and how he's gone about his business. So, you know, when we brought him in and he came in, you could see, you know, why people, you know, pull for him and why people, you know, want him to do well. And then you can see when he went in there on Sunday, you know, he's always handled himself like a pro, and you know, he did a great, you know, a very good job. I mean, that's not an easy situation, you know, for for what he did. And, you know, we think he'll just get better and better each week. And, you know, today was full practice today. And, you know, he's a tough kid, obviously. And, you know, we're excited about him.
Doug, with all due respect to what you just said, when you are down to your third-string quarterback or your third quarterback, and he's inexperienced as far as NFL starts, what are your fears?
Well, it's no different than, you know, when we were down, you know, E.J. Manuel, you know, did, came in without any experience. We used to tell him, hey, you just had another birthday. You're one game old. You know, hey, you're two games old. You're three games old. And I think a lot of it is how you are around the players, how you practice, how do you handle yourself. I think probably the most important question is, do the players on the team feel that you can win with, you know, that player? And, you know, a lot of it gets put on the quarterback position, but it's also, you know, the other positions on the field. And I think, you know, that's the one thing, if you look at or ask anyone on our club, you know, hey, you know, you guys are down to this, or you've had nine quarterbacks in, and you know, people talk about that quite a bit. But as far as the team goes, they feel they can win with Thad Lewis, and that's the most important thing, and that's what I look for.
Doug, the production you've gotten out of rookie Kiko Alonso, is that what you expected? Are you a little surprised that he's performing to this level already?
Well, I think it's important. You know, I've always had the philosophy of, you know, create, you know, a high expectation, you know, for players. And I think that players create a high expectation for themselves. And, you know, between coaches and players, we have to be accountable, you know, to keep that ceiling and not create excuses. And I think that happens, you know, quite a bit, not just in football, but in life. So we did have high expectations when he came in here. I think, you know, then obviously when he came in here from day one, you know, and you see him, you know, the way he was moving around, flying around, you know, and making plays, all of a sudden, like, holy cow, here we go. Uh-oh. Hey, yep. You know what? Hey, he's our starting backer. He's not going to come off the field. So, you know, from that standpoint, you know, am I surprised that he's the player he is now? That's what we expected. I mean, that's what we wanted. You know, that's what we were looking for. And we were able to get that. And, you know, obviously sometimes in this profession that doesn't happen. But he's lived up to all of our expectations.
Just to follow up real quick, obviously him and Deion Jordan, they probably showed up on film together quite a lot. And they were roommates as well. When you watched film of both of them, did Jordan catch your eye as well?
Oh, absolutely. I think that whole team, you know, what Chip Kelly and those guys did out in Oregon. I mean, they were, you know, they were an explosive team. They're explosive. You know, the offense gets a lot of the credit, you know, which is well deserved. But you know, when you put on the defensive tape, you know, and you know, Deion Jordan was out there, and Kiko and a couple of those other guys, they can flat out play.
Doug, the Bills had the longest playoff drought in the NFL, and 11 of the 15 guys who preceded you in that job have had losing records in their first season.
Are you trying to disappoint me right now?
No, I'm just setting you up for a question. I saw some quotes.
You're trying to get me down.
Wouldn't do that. I'm a Buffalo native, actually. I saw some quotes from you saying that the people here deserve better, and obviously four sellouts in four home games. The interest is still there. How do you feel about getting this whole thing turned around? Where are you?
Well, I think, you know, it's a greater cause. You know, obviously, you know, personally, you know, you come here and you want to do the best job you can, and, you know, you start looking at some things maybe from an individual standpoint, and then from a standpoint of your family and what we all want to, you know, get accomplished. But I think, you know, having, you know, been born and raised in this state and, you know, mostly downstate in the southern part in New York City, but, you know, going to school at Central New York, you know, I've always had an appreciation, you know, for the football. I always thought in New York the best football fans were in Western New York. And I think that, you know, this has been a region that has supported football for a long time, and there was a great run, you know, back in the day, you know, when Jim Kelly and Bruce Smith and the rest of those guys were here. And, you know, it's been a long time. And I think, you know, you can feel that. And I think that I talked to the team about it. You know, we've come here, and, you know, our cause is to get it back, you know, to where it was. And, you know, it's not going to be easy. And it's going to be hard. It's going to take a lot of hard work. And that's what we got to be willing to do. And, you know, we're working hard. I mean, we're fighting. You know, the results haven't been, you know, what we're pleased with. But, you know, we've been putting forth the effort, and we just got to keep, you know, just keep fighting and get through this.
Coach, in terms of lessons learned, obviously you've been a head coach on the college level, but what are some of the lessons you've learned in the NFL level, just in your early career?
Oh, I just think that, you know, obviously it was a much easier transition for me going from back to the NFL. You know, I was in the NFL for 7 years and then went back to college. That was a much, much tougher transition for me. I think what it taught me, though, when I went back to college was, you know, how different it is now for these kids in high school. You know, it's different than when I was coached in high school or how I was coached in high school. And, you know, yeah, I had a better learning experience of saying, okay, here's what's going on in high school. Here's what the culture is in high school. And then, you know, when I came back to the NFL, I think I had a better understanding of how to communicate, you know, with the players. As far as, you know, anything that you've learned, I think, you know, just in life, you learn every single day. You learn how to be a better father. You learn how to be a better husband. There's always things you can do. But I think what I constantly strive for is just the communication, you know, from, you know, communicating with respect and candor, you know, and being straight with the players. The league, you know, has changed. It really has. You know, I've been out of it for 4 years. It's changed, you know, the collective bargaining agreement. A new collective bargaining agreement. I think it's, you know, it's a little bit more challenging now. You know, as far as you don't have the players as much. You know, you don't work with them as much as you did before when I was in this league. So I think you have to, you know, do things and try to find ways to get that stuff in. You know, obviously, you know, we went back to college and went to an iPad in college for the players in at Syracuse, and then we were able to bring that concept here. And I think that's helped us, and I think it's something, a tool that we'll be able to use even more so as we move forward.
Talk about moving Mario Williams and how that benefits you guys.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's a secret. I think, you know, and we're not the first team to ever do that. You know, we faced a lot of, you know, different pass rushers and elite guys, and I think, you know, sometimes when you line up in just the one spot, you know, you're able to maybe schematically be able to do things, whether it's formationally or whether you have the backs working, chipping, and doing that, and you know where he is. I think a lot of times, you know, if you're able to move him around just enough, as any good pass rusher, you know, that it's a little bit more challenging to do that, and that's been going on in this league for a while.
And the season that Mario has had, has anything surprised you about it?
No, he's been great. You know, he from day one when we first came in here, and then, you know, he had a condition in his foot that we really had to, you know, we tried to rest him. He wanted to practice, and, you know, we really just wanted to get him ready for the season. So, you know, we rested him as much as we could. He didn't want to. So, you know, you always appreciate that as a coach. And then, you know, I think he's playing extremely well for us. And, you know, he needs to continue to do it each week. And, you know, we appreciate what happens. He's someone that gets, you know, double teamed, triple teamed sometimes, you know, getting hit from all different directions, you know, and keeps playing. And, you know, and that's, you know, he's playing well for us.
Doug, when you've got a young quarterback where there's not a lot of film on him, does that free you up to call the game where maybe you can call what Thad's most comfortable with rather than worrying about self-scouting and trying to break tendencies?
Probably for, you know, for us, the one good thing is that, you know, he was here for, you know, approximately about 6 weeks and was able to pick up the whole offense. And I think what you do is you tend to obviously, whatever player that you have, you play to his strength. And I think it goes back to how you build your system. You know, you build a system that you have volume in that system, and then whoever comes into play, you can play to those players, you know, strengths. And, you know, at the same time, you know, self-scout-wise, I think everyone's going to look at it and just make sure. A lot of times the philosophy has always been, hey, you're trying to do the same thing, but, you know, you're trying to just, you know, make it look a little different from formations or whatever it may be.